Saturday evening. Weather is still going okay so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with our invocation prayers. Some of you got the printouts today, so you can read through from those printouts, or if you know those prayers, you can recite with me.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरक्षे नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पत्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
She can sit here. Okay, so we'll continue with our next session in the seminar series. So we already did two topics from that series. First one was, who remembers the title at least? Whoever attended at least. So the first series were, first seminar was the search for happiness, the real problems of life. Right? And then the second topic we covered was the methods of acquiring the real knowledge. So we'll move on to the next topic, which is, does God really exist? Most of you, I hope, believe in the existence of God. But still, we'll just cover this topic as a systematically understanding. Because a lot of time we get challenged, right, by different people. Okay. Does God exist? If God exists, then why this kind of problem? Why that kind of problem? What is the proof of God's existence? So those kind of questions come up. Even though we have faith, yes, God exists, just how to systematically approach or answer those questions. So we'll just go through this topic. So today's topic, the title of today's session is, does God really exist? Now, in Hindi, when people say God does exist, okay, in Hindi we say Bhagwan hai, right? So for hai, the Sanskrit word is asti. Bhagwan nahi hai, God does not exist. The Sanskrit term is na asti, right? So for hai, God exists, it's asti. God does not exist, nahi hai, na asti. So from here comes these two words which we call as astik or nastik. One who believes in God's existence, who says God exists, God hai, Bhagwan hai. Asti, from asti comes astik, who believes in existence of God. And one who says God does not exist, Bhagwan nahi hai, na asti, that is called nastik. So this is the root from where these two words come. Now, everybody here believe in existence of God?
Yes.
Can we have a show of hands? Anybody who does not claim or does not believe? So there was a very interesting event once. There was one very nice sadhu who arrived at the outskirts of a village. So the villagers thought, let's invite this sadhu baba to come and talk to us on something, some spiritual topic. So a few of the villagers, they went to the sadhu, they said, please come to our village, please give some discourse. So he agreed, yes, I will come. So when they come, so people were sitting on two sides, right? Half people on one side, half on another side. So he came and first question he asked, how many of you believe God exists? So everybody raised hand. And the sadhu said, oh, you all are so nice, pious people, you all know, yes, God exists, you have so much faith, what can I say? So he stood up and walked away. And the people were kind of puzzled, oh, we invited this sadhu and we wanted him to speak. So let's invite him once again. This time when he will ask this question, we will not raise the hands. Okay, so then they again went to that sadhu, they approached him, please come, give some discourse. He said, okay, I will come again. So this time he came, he asked again the same question. How many of you believe God exists? And this time, nobody raised the hand. The sadhu again got up and walked away. He said, none of you believe in the existence of God. What can I speak to you guys? So he again walked away. So this third time, they again planned, oh, this is not good. So let's go again and invite him again. So third time, they went to the sadhu. They invited him, please come. So he again came. He asked the same question again. How many of you believe God exists? This time half people raised hand, half people did not raise hand. Right? So sometime our situation is also like that. We are like half baked. Right? Sometime we have full conviction, yes, God is there. And sometimes something happened, something went wrong. Somebody challenged us, some question. And we start asking ourselves, right? Our faith gets shaken. And you think, oh, does God really exist? So we'll go through this topic as a systematic approach. Now, how do we say, lot of people will ask as a different concerns. Lot of people say, Bhagwan, Bhagwan, kuch nahi hai. This is just some sadhus, rishi munis, they have just created as a fear. They are using the word God just to create as a fear. So people will abide by some moral principles. Out of fear of God, they will not do something bad. Otherwise, there is nothing like God. It's just some arbitrary object created to create a fear among people. There's two good friends. They just graduated from college. Throughout their college time, they were both atheists. They said, we don't believe in God. Oh, this God good does not exist. So they grew up like that. They graduated. They went both to their paths. They started their career. After a few years, this one friend got invitation from other. This other friend is a doctor now, and he's starting his own hospital. He's inaugurating a big hospital. So he invited all his friends. So this other friend also got the invitation to come for an inauguration ceremony for the hospital. So he came there, nice arrangements, everything is going on. He saw on another one corner, there was some arrangement going on for doing some puja. So he approached his friend who was opening this clinic. They said, what is this? We grew up like we had a full conviction God does not exist. And we are atheist people. What is this going on? What are you doing this thing? So he said, see, look, I spent millions of dollars to build this hospital. If somehow, somewhere, maybe God exists, let him also be satisfied. $100, $200 puja also, let it happen. Let him not trouble me. So sometimes people have a little faith or whatever, or belief in God, just out of fear. That, Lord, let him be satisfied if he's somewhere there. Let him not bother me. Let my life be very smooth and no issues. So a lot of people approach God as a fearing object. Something to be scared of. And then some people, even though they say, some people will challenge. Has anybody seen God? If God will be there, then we could see him. We cannot see God, it means God does not exist. Has anybody seen God? So that is another challenge, right? Sometimes people will pause. Oh, who has seen God? God does not exist. In a train, there were two people traveling. And they started talking about God. So one person, he was saying, oh, God is there and he is managing everything. This other person who was an atheist, he said, no, God does not exist. If God was there, we could see him. I cannot see God, so God does not exist. So this other person, he kept quiet for some time. And as they went a little further, so he challenged this person. He said, do you think there is a train driver for this train where we are riding? So he said, of course, yeah, there is a train driver. So this other person said, no, I disagree with you. There is no train driver. There is nothing like a train driver. So this other person who was atheist, he said, no, yes, there is a train driver. You can see the train driver. You can get down. When the train stops at next station, you can get down. You can walk all the way to the front compartment, the engine. You can climb up the engine, and there you will see a driver who is driving this train. He said, see, you are telling me to see the driver, I have to do so much hard work. I have to get down from the train, walk all the way to the front of the train, get up into the compartment engine, and then I can see the driver. Don't you think to see God, you have to do something? It's not that, okay, God will just appear in front of me as my order supplier, and then he will say, oh, here I am, see? So, for anything, there is a process. To see God, there is a process. If we want to see God, we have to do some work. So Brahmaji explained. For the proof of God, or how to perceive existence of God, so he gives some examples. He says, as in a wood, there is a fire already there. But to manifest that fire, you have to light up. Right? You have to light up the wood, and then the fire, which is in the wood, it will manifest. There is food in the earth. Right? Bhumi ke andar ann hai. There is a food, grains inside the earth. But there is a process how to get the grains out of earth. You have to sow a seed, water it, and then the plant will grow and the food will come out. The food will manifest. But if somebody start digging up the earth, if somebody is looking for potatoes, somebody just start digging up the earth, create a big hole, and see, there is no potato. But there is a process. You have to sow a seed of the potato, water it, nourish it, and in a due course of time, the potatoes will grow. Then you can dig up and you can harvest the potatoes. So, there is a process. So, same way, milk. In the cow, milk is there. Right? Cow has milk. Cow gives milk. But there is a process how to get milk out of cow. You have to feed cow some grass, then bring the calf, and then the cow will give the milk. But if somebody says, no, I want to cut the cow into two pieces and see, there is no milk. That's not the process to get the milk. The process, so everything has a process. The same way, when we want to see God, when we want to approach God, there is a process. How we can approach, how we can perceive the existence of God. So Brahmaji says, atra tatra sarvatra. God is present everywhere. He is here, he is there, he is everywhere. But there is a process how we can perceive the presence of God. Even Lord Shiva says, Hari vyapak sarvatra samana, premte prakat hoi me jana. Lord Hari, Vishnu, Lord Krishna is present everywhere. Hari vyapak sarvatra samana, he is present everywhere. He is existing everywhere. But how we can see him? Prem te prakat hoi me jana. He appears out of the love of the devotees. Right? He manifests himself in front of devotees out of their love. So there is a process. And then the next question sometimes people will pose. So this question was, if God is there, we will be able to see him. Right? And then the other question sometimes people pose, see, there is, before we move, actually the process to see, in Bhagavad Gita, there is one very nice shloka. I guess it's 11.4, chapter 11, text 4, where Arjuna is approaching Lord Krishna. Right? He is asking Krishna to show his universal form, Virat Roop. So how does he say, Krishna? I challenge you. He doesn't say, I challenge you. Show me your universal form, then I will accept you. Then I will believe in you. How was his approach? How he approached Lord Krishna? He says, if you think I am eligible, please show me your universal form. If you think I can behold your universal form, if I am eligible for that, kindly show me your universal form. So there is a humility. Right? In that approach, there is a humility. And then Krishna gave him a special vision. It's not that Krishna said, with your material eyes, with your this vision, you cannot behold my universal form. So I will give you a special vision and then you will be able to see me. So to see Krishna, to see God, we need some qualification. It's not that, okay, I just challenge, show me where is God. If God is there, let him appear in front of me. Otherwise, I don't believe in existence of God. If we demand, and that demand is not fulfilled, then we decline the existence of God. Oh, God does not exist. So it cannot be as a demand. It has to be as a humble request, as a humility to approach God. Now, another question generally people ask, if God were there, then there will be no problems in this world. There is so much problem, so much evil, so much of negative things are here in this world, so much crime, right? If God were there, there would be no problems. So that is another question generally people ask. So we'll go through this question in a completely separate session. There is a complete separate topic just for this topic. Why do bad things happen to good people, or vice versa? Why do bad things happen to good people, or good things happen to bad people? Sometimes people say, oh, that guy is so nasty person and he is enjoying. How come? Is God partial? And this person is such a nice person and he's suffering. Is there any law and order? So we'll go through that as a complete separate topic. So another question generally people ask or challenge, if God exists, what is the proof of God's existence? Everybody wants proof. This is a scientific world. We are living in a scientific world. And everything is, as we said, right, what I can see, what I can smell, what I can touch, what I can hear, I believe on those things. Seeing is believing. So for God also, people want to use that method. They say, show me God, or what is the proof of God's existence? So now let's see what are the points which we can bring forward as a proof of God's existence. So the first thing, creation implies a creator. Creation implies a creator. If there is anything created, it means there has to be somebody who created it. Right? If we create anything, we all work in automotive company, most of us. So if there is a Chevy Traverse or whatever vehicle is there, did that come out by itself, or somebody has to put a lot of effort to build that one vehicle? Can we say, okay, out of many, 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 many hundreds of years, because of the friction, because of the so much of metal got assembled together and this nice vehicle came out? Or on the shore of an ocean, all these waves were going on, and with the friction of all these waves, there is a nice wristwatch created. Can we claim that? But we claim, or the science claims, or the people who blindly follow science, they claim all this creation happened by chance as a Big Bang. Right? Big Bang theory, famous Big Bang theory. So all of this thing came just by chance. Some of the gases mixed together and there was a Big Bang and all of these things got created. But let's just think about that bang in a more logical way and just ask one question. Whenever there is one explosion happen, how many of time we think something nice, wonderful got created? Or do we think how much of got damaged? Whenever there is a bomb blast, some terrorist did some bomb blast. Did you ask and say, oh, did anything wonderful, some wonderful building came out of this blast? Or do you ask, how much was the destruction? How many people got killed? So explosion does not create, it destroys. Just one common sense thing, right? Explosion. Have you seen in your entire life some explosion happened and something got created? But how many of time you can confidently claim some explosion happened and something got destroyed? What is your experience? Explosion led to creation, or explosion led to destruction? Destruction. And yet, we buy that theory, Big Bang, that out of a Big Bang, out of a big explosion, everything got created wonderfully. And everything is operating systematically in a very nice way. So, creation employs a creator. So, there are nice, wonderful flowers. right? So many different variety, different shape, color, smell. So much of different creation is there. Can we say, oh, all this came just out of random chance? Let's say she draw a nice flower, paint it nicely, and show it to her mom. And mom will say, who drew this? Who colored this? Right? Did you do this? And will you say, no, it just happened by chance, random? Or will you take credit? Right? So you will take credit. Oh, I did this, right? And yet, we decline the presence of God, for God's hand behind all this creation. I say, there's nothing behind it. It just happened by chance. You eat chapati? Who cooked that? Can she say, oh, I did not create this, I did not cook this chapatis. I somehow in the night some dough, some water got mixed and there was a big bang in the oven and this nice chapatis came out of the oven. Does it happen?
We wish that.
No. You wish? So if explosion was the cause of creation, then these builders are not needed, right? They should not be putting so much effort in building the houses. Right now there's a builder building 9 new houses here. So maybe somebody should go and propose him, oh, why are you spending so much time and effort and energy? You should open a small bank company. Just put together all the raw material and some tuck, some small banks and these houses will be built. Right? So creation employs a creator. If anything has to be created, there has to be somebody who is creating it, who is putting all that effort, thinking, planning, arranging all the material and everything. So that is first point. And then the second point. So first point was creation employs a creator. Second point is laws employ a lawmaker. If there is any law here existing, it means somebody has to be there who created that law, who put together that law. Right? Let's say in India, if you go to any metro city like Bombay or Delhi, on the train station you say there are so many platforms and all the trains are going one after another from different directions. And the system is so much nicely created that they don't collide together. Yes, once in a while it happens. Right? But generally, so the trains are going back and forth without getting collided with each other. So does it happen by chance? Somebody says, oh, all these trains are going randomly by itself. So somebody has put together a system, right? When this train goes, this plate, this railway lane changes and these two lanes join together and all these things happen. So somebody has put together a plan, somebody has put together the system, that's how it's working. And the light system, when you came to my house, from wherever you came, maybe you crossed so many red signals. Isn't it? So, can somebody say, oh, this wonderful red light system, red, yellow, green light, it all came by chance. And it's all working very nicely, randomly. Nobody has put together this system. Can you say that? So, you know, somebody has planned, somebody has put together this whole system, and the lights are going nicely in a systematically fashion, systematically ordered. So one side, this side, people can cross, then this side will stop, other side people can cross. So this system is created by somebody and it's functioning nicely. But then for this universal affair, sometimes we claim, oh, this whole system, all the planets are going around each other very nicely in a systematic order by itself. And what is the force behind it? Oh, all the planets are revolving around each other because of gravitational force. Law of gravity is holding all the planets together. Okay, law of gravity is functioning, it's making all the planets go around. But who created that law? Who put together that force? So somebody has to be there who has created that law. It's not that law just came by itself. Somebody has to be there who created that law. So all the planets go around nicely in a systematic way without colliding with each other. Sun comes up in the morning and then sets in the evening. The seasons are going in a cyclic way. the summer, the winter, the fall, right? They come around their time and then they go. Same way the day and night. Is that happened sometime the sun forgot to rise? Oh, today is declared continuous, night will continue. Doesn't happen. There is a system. And it's not that it's happening by chance. So this system has been created by somebody. So the laws employ a lawmaker. And then the next point is, for every urge, there is a fulfillment in the nature. Isn't it? We get thirsty. So there is already a system, there is a water provided in nature. We get hungry by law of nature, by the arrangement of nature. In the nature, there is food provided. So even for surrender to the higher authority, that is also, for that urge, it's provided. Some people may worship mountains, some people may worship sun, some people may worship just some great creation, great object. Right? So there is an urge to submit to something big. And for that urge, there is a provision in the nature. So after saying that, so these are some of the points which we can say, okay, God does exist. Somebody can say, okay, I understand God exists. But what is God? Who is God? And this is where most of people do some hodgepodge. Some people claim, oh, God is just some energy. Bhagwan sirf ek shakti hai. Some people say, God is just some light. Some people will say, all these Devi Devatas are God. Sab Devi Devata Bhagwan hai. Ye Devi bhi Bhagwan hai, wo Devi Bhagwan hai, wo Devata Bhagwan hai, ye Baba Bhagwan hai, wo Bhaiya Bhagwan hai, main bhi Bhagwan hu, tum bhi Bhagwan ho, sab Bhagwan hai. Some people will say, is God Nirguna or Saguna? Is God with form or He is without form? So all these different things people put together. What is the right understanding? So the scriptures say God has three different aspects simultaneously. Brahmeti, Pramatmeti, Bhagwaniti, Shabdete. God has three simultaneous aspects. What is those? Brahmeti, Brahman, which is the effulgence of God, which sometimes people refer to as an impersonal jyoti, just as a light. So God is existing in form of His impersonal effulgence as the light emanating from Him. So Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, He is existing as Paramatma. In the aspect of Paramatma, He is residing everywhere, in the heart of every living entity. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwan iti shabdete. And He has His own supreme personal form. He is existing in the spiritual world in His personal form. So these are the three simultaneous aspects of God. But how do we understand this? Again, I will give you one analogy, which is my favorite analogy. So once in a village, there was no provision of the train. So they have all the village people, they never had seen any train. They did not know what train looks like. So, new railway minister came and he put railway line to all the villages. Okay, so we'll put the railway tracks everywhere. So, they announced, okay, this village, there is a railway line coming. It's still like few kilometers away, but at least it's passing by from there. So, all these village people thought, we have never seen the train. And the day, first time when the train is passing from there, we would like to see how is this train? What does this train look like? They said, all of us cannot go, because if all of us go, then who will work? So they selected three people, okay, to go to the train station and bring a report back for everybody. How does this train look like? So three people, so out of that, one person was very curious. He was very excited. Before the train time, few hours before itself, he started running to the direction from where the train was supposed to come.
He started running towards the train. And from far away, he saw a big light coming. So he said, oh, train means big light. Right? If you see the train from far away, what do you see?
Light.
Just the light, right? The headlight of the train. So he saw, oh, train means big light. So he turned back, ran towards village back. He came, oh, I figured out what train looks like. Train means big light. So other person, he was a little more patient than the first one. So he waited for the train to come. As soon as the train approached towards that place, the train station, he saw the light coming. And as it came more closer, he saw a big box behind that, right? The engine. He said, oh, train means light, and behind the light there's a big box, big engine. He ran back to give the report. He came to the village and told the villagers, oh, train means there is a big light, and behind that big light, the source of light, there is a big box behind that. So the third person was more intelligent, more patient. He stood quietly on the train station. So the train approached, as the train was approaching, first a light, and then as it came closer, he saw the engine, big box. And as the train came on the platform, so the train is going forward, he saw there is a different compartments behind the engine. So he climbed up into the engine, into one of the compartments. He said there are nice seats, there is fan, there is light, there are people sitting inside the train. So this is the whole train. This is what the real train means. So he got the complete understanding. He came and he informed the villagers. Oh, this is what the train looks like. From the far, when you see there's a light, it comes closer, there's an engine behind that, and there are many other compartments. And this is the whole story. So is any three of those people wrong? But their understanding is partial. Right? There's a relative difference in the understanding. Somebody thought train means just light. Somebody thought train means light plus the engine. Another person gave a picture, complete picture of the train. So same way, God exists simultaneously in these three aspects. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. As in his personal form. So some people realize or understand God just in form of his impersonal Brahman, impersonal Jyoti. What is that? It's like God has his personal form, and from his body there is a light emanating from his body. Aura, the hue. Right? All of us emit some aura. Right? But our aura is so small, other person cannot see it. So from God's body there is a light emanating. And that is called impersonal Brahman, the Jyoti. So the whole light is, that is the source of the whole light. And then he is present in his Paramatma aspect. He is present everywhere. And then if somebody goes further closer into the planet, into the spiritual world, right? Vaikuntha planet, Krishna Loka. So inside the planet somebody goes, then somebody can see, oh, God is there in his personal form. And there are so many other devotees who are living eternally into the spiritual world, into Vaikuntha. And there are so many different activities going on. So that is a complete understanding. So another example is just like the sun. So the sun planet, sun surface, the sun rays, and inside the sun planet there is the deity of sun, Vivaswan, sun god Vivaswan. So there is sun ray, right? Some people say, oh, sun means the light of sun, just the rays. But if somebody travels on the sun rays, ultimately he will reach to the surface of the sun planet. And if somebody enters into that planet, he can see there are other living entities also on the planet, and there is some person who is known as Vivaswan, who is the source of all that. So, the complete understanding of God's existence or God is in his nirguna form also, he is in saguna form also. His nirguna also in forms of his impersonal Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti. And he is saguna as his own personal form. So these features exist simultaneously. It's not that God assumed one form out of nowhere. Somehow, someday he planned, oh, let me assume a form. He has a form eternally. So now the question comes, okay, we understand this, but who is God? Right? Because this question remains, especially coming from our Indian background, Hindu background. We know there are 33 crore Devi Devata. And sometimes we think, oh, everybody is God. All of them are God. So, who is God? And generally we come across this statement also, God is one. Mm-hmm. Right? So if God is one, and all 33 crore also Devi Devata are also God, then how come God is one? So how do you understand this? Yes, God is one, and we have to understand what is the relation of all these Devi Devatas, 33 crore Devi Devata and that one God. How do they relate with each other? Let's first understand the definition of God. How many of you know the definition of God? How can God be defined? Anybody? Any characteristic? How God can be defined?
Most powerful, most glorious,
All attractive.
All attractive, most powerful. Okay.
All positive thoughts.
All positive thoughts. Okay.
Never give up.
Oh, he never gives up. Okay. So you also mean he has all positive thought or our thoughts?
He has all positive thoughts.
Okay. So God means everything positive. There is no negativity.
Actually, he is generator, operator and destroyer.
Good. So he is the supreme creator. He is the supreme maintainer. And he is the supreme destructor of everything. Okay. So the definition of God in one sense, first characteristic is he is the cause of everything. He is the cause of all causes. So for everything there has to be some cause. As we said, creation employs a creator, right? Whatever we do, there is somebody who did that. So same way, the cause employs, he is the cause of all causes. And there is no cause behind him. So that is first characteristic. But what does it mean, cause of all causes?
So if we keep on tracing back and back, back and back, then we came to know that everything is creating from one source.
So he is the source of everything. Let's say we have a source, right? We came from a father, mother. And if you trace back, they had their father, mother. They had their father, mother. And if we trace all the way back, who will be the first human being?
Brahma.
From Brahma, who was the first persons came out?
Manu.
Manu and Satarupa. Right, that those two were the first created by Brahma, first two as a man and woman. So Manu and Satarupa, that is the first human beings. So from Manu comes the word Manuj or Manushya. That is the meaning, because we come from Manu, that's why we are called Manushya or Manuj. But somehow again the science has a different philosophy. We came from monkeys. Okay, the Darwin theory of evolution. So what does the theory say? Our source?
It's not proven.
Yeah, it's not proven, of course. But that's how it's taught in the textbook. You open up any textbook of school, 6th, 7th grade, this is what is taught, right? Even though it's not proven, but that's presented as a most authentic theory. As if it's a... Generally, the word itself implies theory.
Yeah.
It's just somebody's theory. But we take it as a proven science. So, that theory proposes we came from monkeys. Our ancestors were monkey. But the scripture defined all the species of life exist simultaneously. It's not that sometime it's first it is started in the ocean and then the fish came onto the earth, onto the sand, and it took the form of a animal. And then the animal, the monkey came, and then the monkey started standing. And then from monkey, humans came out. There's a nice saying, if humans came from monkeys, then why there are still monkeys existing? Right? Why just as a random change, some monkey chose to jump onto the benches and some monkeys are still hanging on the branches. Right? So, we came from Manu and Satarupa, the first human beings. That's why we are called Manuj or Manushya. And he and the God, if we trace back, who is the creator, who is the source of everything, that is called God. He is the cause of all causes and there is no cause behind him. And the second characteristic is, he is the supreme proprietor. Now, any wealthiest person in this world, can he claim he owns everything?
No.
Somebody can say, okay, I own this city, I own this island, I own this big company. But can somebody claim, oh, I own this whole planet? Forget. So what to speak of, this planet is just a small seed in this universe. There are innumerable planets. So God is the proprietor of everything. There was a joke earlier in my childhood. I heard one joke. One person thought, I want to find out who is the wealthiest person, who is the most rich person. So he was going around in the city, figure out who owns maximum buildings. So he saw many boards. So and he came back, he said, you know who is the most richest person in this city? There is something, some Mr. Tulet. So in India, when somebody is renting some place, right, some building, what board they put outside?
Tulet.
Means this place is available for rent. Here we say rent, on rent, right, or lease. So in India they call it Tulet. So he came back, he said, there is somebody, Mr. Tulet. He is the wealthiest person in this city. So somebody may own many buildings, but he cannot claim, I own everything. And who can claim that I own everything? That is God. Now, supreme proprietor and then supreme enjoyer. The next characteristic is, he is the supreme enjoyer. Because if somebody owns everything, means he can only enjoy. Right? If we own very limited something, can we enjoy everything to its full potential? But if somebody owns everything, he is the supreme enjoyer also. So there is a, if you go to a hotel, there is a reception. So on the reception, there is a person, receptionist, he or she is working very hard, taking the orders, checking in, checking out people, and collecting the money, right? So at the end of the day, some nice rich guy comes in a car, he parks his car, comes inside and says, okay, give me the whole bag full of money. And he takes the bag and goes away. And somebody will wonder, oh, this person was working freaking hard day and night, and this fellow came and took all the money and went away. Why? Because he is the owner of this property. This guy is just working there, collecting all the money. But this guy owns the place and he comes and collects everything. So he is the enjoyer of that property. So who can be the supreme enjoyer? Who owns everything? Who is the proprietor of everything? So he is the cause of all causes. He is the supreme proprietor. He is the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme controller.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody in this world claim to be the controller of everything?
Mm-hmm.
Even the president of the country, Obama or whoever will come on Tuesday, they cannot claim that they control the whole United States. Right? Even currently Obama also cannot claim, oh, I control everything in this city or in this country. Even us, we say, oh, this is my body. Do we have control on this body? Can you control the nails to grow or the hairs to fall off or your hairs to turn white? So we don't have control on these things. What to speak of control on other things? So who is the supreme controller? Only God can be the supreme controller. So these are the characteristics. And there is another definition given in Vishnu Purana by Prashar Muni. So who is Prashar Muni? Anybody knows? Everybody know Ved Vyas?
Yeah.
Right, Ved Vyas composed all these scriptures. He put them into the writing form. So Ved Vyas's father, his name is Prashar Muni. So Ved Vyas's father, Prashar Muni, he gives a definition of what is God. And his definition says, ashwarasya samagrasya viryasya yashasah shriya gyanam vairagyam shreva shannam bhaga nitangina. So shannam bhaga means six qualities. Six opulences. Who has these six opulences in full?
Yeah.
He can be considered as God. And what are these six opulences? So first one he says, Aishwarasya Samagrasya. So Aishwarya. Aishwarya means the riches. So he has all the riches. So Aishwarasya Samagrasya. Second one is Virya. Virya means strength, power. So he is the most powerful. Yashasah, most famous. Shreya, most beautiful. Fifth one, Jnanam, he is the most knowledgeable. Vairagya, even though after possessing all these opulences, he is the most rich, he is the most beautiful, he is most wealthy, he is the most powerful, he is most knowledgeable, and still he is the most renounced person. So if somebody fit into that criteria, that is considered God. Now, if we just look into all these qualifications, Aishwarya, right, we already discussed Aishwarya, his opulences, the wealth, riches. Nobody can claim he owns everything. He's the richest person. Even Bill Gates or whoever it is, they cannot claim they are the most richest person or they own everything. Famous. There are many people come and go. The fame stays for few years. Can somebody stay famous forever? How many of you know there are many famous film stars, many famous industrialists, many famous scientists? How many of they are known forever? Right? Whoever were the maybe 30, 20, 30, 40 years back film star. How many of them we know now? Or how many of them we remember now? There may be many famous cricketers in the past. How many of them are known now? Somebody comes, somebody goes. In India now, in the cricket, they used to call somebody as Cricket Ka Bhagwan. Who was that?
Sachin Tendulkar,
right? They started calling him Cricket Ka Bhagwan. And then after a few years, they say, okay, now you retire. Let somebody else come. Right? So the fame does not stay forever. Beauty. How many of the people can claim they will stay beautiful forever? That's why I was giving the example of film star, right? The Bollywood, Hollywood actresses. Somebody may be very beautiful, but how many of them are known now? Even those times, that time, like 30, 40 years back, whatever film star, whoever was the name, Nargis or
Madhubala.
How many people remember them now? And how many of them come out in the public now, actually?
See, Sanjeeva remembers.
Big fan of Madhubala.
So, there was another very famous model, I don't recall the name. As she grew old, as she saw the first wrinkle on her face, she was so scared to come in the public that people kind of praised me or adored me so much because of my beauty. Now, when people will say my aging face, what will they think? So, just the fear of getting old, losing that beauty. And then the other qualification, jnana, knowledge. How much, is there anybody who can claim he knows everything? Right? There is nobody who can claim, oh, I know everything. There may be some arrogant people. Oh, don't tell me anything, I know everything. There are some people, right, who may say just casually, oh, no, I know everything. But how many, is there anybody who can really say, yes, I know everything? So, and then renunciation. Just imagine if somebody is a very rich person and you come tell him, will you be my chauffeur? for one day? What will he say? How dare you ask me to be a chauffeur? See, I'm such a rich person. I have hundreds of chauffeurs. And you are asking me to be a chauffeur? So when we have something, we become attached to that. If somebody has a house, we become attached to that house. Somebody has a nice car, we become attached to that house. Is there anybody after having all that, somebody is completely renounced, just walks away from that? Oh, I don't care. Has you seen anybody? So if somebody can meet all those criteria, then we can consider he is God. So I just gave the definition. And maybe in the next session, we will move forward. So who is God? So far we discussed God does exist and what are the criteria to understand existence of God. We discussed the different claims, right? And what are the answers for that. We discussed the definition of God. He is the cause of all causes. He is most powerful. He is the supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer. And then this definition given by Prashyamuni. Ashwarasya smagrasya viryasya yashasah shriya jnanam vairagyam sheva shannam bhagam itangana. So who possesses all these six opulences in full? He's not saying who, if somebody possesses all these opulences in a little quality, little quantity, he can be considered God.
That's the criteria for demigods.
Right. So he is saying if somebody possesses all this in full, that can be considered God. Because even there are 33 crore Devi Devatas. So some of them can possess these six opulences to some extent.
Yeah.
But not to the fullest extent. Even Brahma, he has a source. Right? How did Brahma come up?
From the lotus navel.
From the lotus sprouting out from the navel of Lord Vishnu. Right? On the top, on that lotus, Brahma was born. So Brahma has a source. So he cannot say, oh, I have no other source. I am the cause of everything. So same way all other Devi Devatas, there is some source there. Even the knowledge. Brahma gave the knowledge to the Narad Muni, his first bonds. But from where did Brahma got the knowledge? When Brahma was born on the lotus, he wanted to find out the source. From where do I come? So he went into the whirl of that lotus, going deep to see where does this whirl goes. From where is this lotus sprouting? And he could not find out the source. He could not reach to the source from where this lotus was coming. So he finally gave up, he came back, and then he heard the voice. Tapa. Austerity. So he did austerity for 100 years. And then the knowledge was revealed to him. Beauty. Now there are so many Devi Devatas. Some of them may be very heinous looking. Right? Very scary looking.
Yamaraj.
Kali Mata. Right? So they are, yes, they possess some other opulences. But in terms of beauty, sometimes people, if the person who does not know them, right? Any Western person, sometimes if they see the picture, they might get scared. There was a movie earlier, like, I don't know, 30, 40 years back, or maybe when I was just 4, 5, 6 years old. East or West. Somebody came out as NRI to India, and she saw all the pictures of different Devi Devatas. There was a picture of Kali Mata, there was a picture of Yamaraj or somewhere, all that. And she got scared. That is the only part I remember from that movie. So don't ask me anymore. So, there's another joke which came to my mind just. So once a Westerner person, he came to India. And he was going to different cities, different offices in India. After he visited all the different cities and he went to different places, once he was returning back at the airport, he met somebody and he was telling the person that after visiting India, I have got a full conviction that yes, God exists. Earlier, I was a very atheist person, but after visiting India, I got conviction that yes, God is there. So this person asked him, what made this conviction? What convinced you? What did you see in India that convinced you for this? He said, I went to all these government offices. Nobody is working there, but somehow this country is running. So I conclude, somewhere God has to be there. So I'm fully convinced, yes, God must be there.
And he has full mercy on India.
Right? So people get different cliques to believe in the existence of God. For him, maybe that was the point. So God does exist. So next session we'll uncover how we understand who is God, one God or many God. Okay, we'll discuss that topic next session. So if anybody has any question, we can discuss any question. If I said anything wrong or if you want to add, please add. If I said anything wrong, please excuse me. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
We discussed like if this nature is created, someone behind this it is created, and even Brahma also he got knowledge from Vishnu and all those things. But if Krishna is himself so much, means he has all the power and he himself has all the knowledge, so maybe he might be got from some other place, right? Means if something good things are to be happen, so someone has to do it.
This
is what we talk like.
So the definition of God itself, we said he is the cause of everything, he has no other cause. Right? That okay, it's we have a father mother.
Yeah.
It's not that he has a father mother who gave birth to God. As a, in a original position. Right? In the spiritual
Brahma,
world.
Brahma created us.
So Brahma created
God
us.
Created Brahma.
Right.
Who created God?
Who created God? So if somebody created God, he cannot be God. Right? Any other question, point?
Thank yes. you for the session. You explained very nicely.
So we'll stop here. If you have any question, you can ask next session because it will be continuation of this topic basically.